Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church last Sunday and then approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our Children, Youth, and Families Director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And this week we started a new series called Free Christmas Now, where we're talking about how Christmas is just such a beautiful time to be reminded of the freedom that God is calling us to, especially the freedom from certain things, maybe who we were or what we have been in the past, and a freedom to embrace what He has for us now, what He wants us to receive and what He wants us to be. And of course, we were talking about, or in the sermon, we were discussing Luke, in that very first chapter where Mary is actually visited by the angel Gabriel and given this great opportunity to receive this being the mother of Jesus and to be whatever she needs to become in order to do that. Yeah, and it has a really interesting parallel, I thought, to the Exodus story as well, where Moses has a similar sort of moment where he's called by God through the burning bush to then go to Pharaoh and convince him to let those people be free from slavery.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about that story is it isn't just that God wants them free from slavery. Mm-hmm. He wants them to be free from slavery to be free to worship Him in the way that He really wants, in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
So the two stories are parallel that way. Mary and Moses are both called from to embrace this great two that God has for them.
We were on the same sort of lesson with the youth, the children, and the
adults. Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
The youth was more like how has God asked you to trust Him when it doesn't make sense? Mm-hmm. Like Mary and Joseph are asked to trust when it doesn't make sense, but we were talking about the same sort of thing.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah. Mm. I like this idea of, you know, she had to really be brave in that moment and just, you know, you're right. She had to give up a lot to gain a lot, but also it's a big risk anytime God asks you to do something that just doesn't really make sense. And especially this does not make sense.
Well, it really doesn't make sense. Yeah. We can't even imagine it. And it's still like even to be told you're going to be the mother of God's own son.
Right.
Well, we know kind of what that means.
Right.
But she had no clue.
Yeah. What is that supposed to look like? What is that? How is that going to happen? You know, what is my role in that? That's just like a heavy burden that, you know.
Yeah.
I would be overwhelmed for sure if I was Mary. And
which is why I asked the second question. What do you think in that previous verses? When she says, I'm the Lord's servant, may your word be fulfilled.
Yeah.
May your word to me be fulfilled.
Yeah.
What do you think in those previous verses would bring her to the place where she could say
she
that?
She could actually get to that moment of like clarity.
Yeah. And risk. And the only two things I could think of were the Lord is with you and the Holy Spirit will.
Yeah.
And no word from God will ever fail.
Well, and that's kind of a radical idea too, in the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit will, and you're like, what's the concept of the Holy Spirit for Mary at this point? You know, we hear reference to that a few times before the Holy Spirit comes and acts, but even then, I don't think they really had a true concept of, you know.
Only the Spirit of God. They knew the Spirit of God.
But
again,
getting to that point.
You know, we have a different idea even of the Spirit of God because we know Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
And we understand the Trinity a lot better. So so to understand, you know, Jesus being who He is, the Holy Spirit being who He is and what He does, and then God Himself, it's a radical concept for us to understand too, when we kind of have the fuller picture for Mary.
Yeah.
A lot.
Just as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, to Mary and for this generation, the Spirit of God was really wrapped up in the law.
Yeah.
So the fact that she's able to trust God in this intimate kind of way is also really radical,
I think. It is.
Right? There's no priest involved. There's no
Right.
Ritual involved. The sacrifices aren't there. All that stuff. This is really a person-to-person, personal thing.
Well, it's also really strange to me because you're right, because they had so many rules and, like, even their temples were kind of divided. Like, mm-hmm. you're talking about there's no priest or anything. But there's no man involved there.
Right.
In between. There's no correspondence between her and, you know, like a male counterpart representative and then right. God. There's no middleman. It's her and God, which has got to be a little bit. I mean, there's Angel Gabriel, but I mean, in all sense, it's, you know, this instance of God coming upon this person. And mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense to what they would have understood, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only, there. I mean, she would have maybe she would have an allegory or a parallel to other angelic visitations, maybe like the burning bush or that kind
right.
of thing.
Right, but not for a but woman.
Think about
even,
it,
though.
Yeah, not even.
Because, you know, anytime we see, like, a woman in a story where God is leading them or God is speaking to them, there's always a prophet. Or, like, some male counterpart, if you look at, like, Esther, it's her, mm-hmm. her uncle. That everybody has something.
Yeah.
Where there's somebody in between. But here, it's, like, an angelic encounter, but...
Right. The angel of the Lord. I yeah. mean, so it really is. It is representative of the Lord. That's right. it. You're right. It's undiluted. Right.
Yeah.
So, but again, it's like a personal ask, you know,
yeah.
from God. It's like, right. this doesn't happen to people.
Right.
But
I need
it's
a
happening
favor
to her,
from you.
You know?
Yeah.
yeah.
God ever ask anybody for a favor? That's, I can't think of, well, I mean, there are some stories in the Bible that would lead you to believe, you know, God does kind of work in conjunction, especially in the Old Testament, in conjunction with people, certainly, you know, Moses was one that I can think of. Where
yeah, and he speaks
ask.
To the prophets or they
he
get their
the
visions
prophets.
And things.
But
yeah.
but I mean, this is a big thing. This is caring his son. Caring for, mm-hmm. not only caring, but caring for and raising up in the way in which he should go so that ultimately he does become the Savior.
Right.
Because what sort of human element could get in the way of that? And what sort of person has to bear that burden? And what does that person have to look like in order for God to entrust that burden onto them?
Yeah. Yeah, see, all those things that we think about, like, so, okay, so I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God, so what's that going to look like?
Right.
But she doesn't ask any questions.
Doesn't.
She all she does is how.
Yeah.
How can this be?
How can this be?
And but once she gets an answer, it's like, right. okay, and all of her personal concerns, which had to have been many, I mean, yeah. giving up any of her plans being viewed probably as immoral.
Yeah.
You know? Pregnant without a husband,
mm-hmm.
and then, yeah, this, whatever's going to go down with she and Joseph.
Yeah.
She doesn't ask about any of those things, but somehow she gets that assurance, the Lord is with you, the Holy Spirit will, and no word of God will ever fail.
And what is she, 14 years old?
And she's something like 14 years old. Which is a really good thing for us to remember, too, that, you know, God's not going to lead us into a situation where we're going to fail.
Right. He's not going to ask of us so much that it's going to be such a weight and a burden on us that there's no possible way we can even come to the right choice or the right conclusion.
And right.
He's going to have to... He knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, he knew Mary in this moment, certainly more than she probably knew of herself and what she would do in that moment.
Yeah.
But what everybody else thought of her. And that's why those, you know, assumptions of her didn't really matter after she had this encounter. It's going to Joseph, it really felt like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want to shame this person who's very good and kind. But to Mary, you don't see that. You see her give herself fully to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because she trusted in him to not see her in that way or to know her so well that he knew that she was the right person for the task.
Yeah, and she really believes that, well, I think an encounter with Gabriel, an encounter with God that way, filled her with more confidence than it did, you know, trepidation or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to take that risk, to again, take the risk to allow herself freedom from all of those things, like her plans with Joseph, all of those things, like her reputation, control of her body, freedom from all that, and freedom to embrace what God wanted her to be.
Right.
And what God wanted her to receive right now.
Right.
which is this amazing opportunity to be the mother of Jesus.
It was interesting because I asked the youth about this, about specifically Mary's response to this, because it's something that floors me. Wondered what they would think, especially highlighting, you know, she's very young here.
Yeah.
And she's around your age. So how would you respond to this? Or do you find anything in this to be a little bit off, you know, in your mind? Like, is this how you would expect somebody to respond? And they said, well, we would ask a lot of questions, a lot more questions than Mary did. But then they ultimately came to the conclusion that if God asked me to trust in him, then I would do it. And I said, well, what brings you to that conclusion? And then they said, because I think God is good. And I thought, well, there it is. That's what Mary was thinking there. Because no matter how many questions she was going to ask, she's just ultimately going to have to trust. There's no answer that's going to satisfy all those questions that you're going to have and all those things that you might have to give up. And to understand God is good and that he's not going to put you in a situation where, like you said, you're going to fail or it's going to just be absolutely terrible. It might be hard, but absolutely just the worst thing that could have happened to your life. To trust that he's not going to do that because he's good is a really great place to be. And to hear the youth understand that was like really cool, a cool moment.
Yeah, this is what it comes down to. And, you know, I hope they and I hope we can, you know, always be translating our whatever we hear from the Bible into that. Because there are a lot of things in the Bible that come out sounding like, man, God's rough, man. God is really mean.
Right.
But it's always on us to remember that God is not, God is good.
Right.
And whatever God does is out of love.
Right.
So when God asks us to make radical changes in our lives or walk away from things that are doing damage to us or that, and that we may be really attached to,
right,
to take that freedom from those things, we have to do it with faith. And we don't get the benefit of an angelic visit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But what do we get? I mean, how do we, you know, when we're called to radical change, I mean, I guess in my life, it came out of more of a, you know, hitting a brick wall and a desire to change. And really, for me, it was a desire at that point. The desire was to go home, to be reconnected with God, to find that goodness that I'd heard about when I was a little kid in church or when I was younger, but to re-find that and to find some sort of solace and rescue. So, but what about you? I mean, where do you find, when you've been asked to change, I know you've had that. You've
right.
had God call you to radical change.
Yeah. When you were speaking, it was so reminiscent of how I felt too, was that, yeah, when that call comes, it really, mine at least, came from just a burning desire to have something matter in my life, I think. I think that I, for so long, I had been doing what other people felt I needed to do, and I wanted to have some sort of feeling in myself that felt like it was something I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Not just what everybody else wanted me to do. And I think that I didn't even know for a long time that I was feeling that way. And I just came to a spot where I just felt so lost in, I mean, certainly successful in plenty of things, but just lost. And then God being the answer to that. And to trust him, I had to know that he had that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the point I had to come to was that my relationship with God, although, you know, it felt very broken at that moment, it didn't feel, it certainly wasn't what it is today. I had this deep understanding and knowing that he was the answer to all those questions I had, all, you know, all the things I was missing in my life. He was that. So if he was going to call me to something, which is certainly was kind of like a daunting kind of moment for me, you know, it was certainly, it was not an angelic, you know, visitation, but it certainly was just as, for me, just as incredible of a moment for me. But if he was going to come and he was going to speak to me and show me a new way, I knew that it was going to be something that could give me that purpose and could fulfill me. And that was important to know. And I mean, everybody sort of has to get to those points on their own. But when they do, when you can trust who he is, like Mary was able to so instantly trust who he is, when you can get to that point, it can open up that way in which God can use you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just fall into saying, okay, well, I know this isn't going to be easy. I know I'm going to hit roadblocks and it's going to be things like that, because that's just the reality of life. But God's right there. And this is what he wanted me to do. So, I so fully can fall into that. Even on those days when you really want to give up and you're like, oh, Lord, what am I going through? What is this? But, you know, just remembering that he is there. He is good. He is for you and all those things.
Yeah. I remember feeling similar in the sense that a lot of the things that I knew I'd have to have exercise that freedom from,
yeah,
stuff I'd have to walk away from,
yeah,
and how difficult that I knew some of it could potentially be.
Yeah.
There was a super feeling of assurance that it didn't matter because it wasn't in my power that those things were going to be shifting and changing.
Right.
That God really would be, you know, I guess to quote sort of the Bible, the wind beneath your wings, you know, that's going to actually help you move through those difficult times.
Right.
So I think a lot of times, you know, people come to those moments in their lives and it can be out of frustration or longing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be just out of pure Holy Spirit inspiration when you're sitting in church and you go, and the light comes on.
Right.
You go, you know, I don't feel completely connected to God. I really do want that in my life. I really want him.
Yeah.
You know, and the change that he's always going to ask us to change.
Right.
You know, but it's always going to be for the best.
It's always going to be good.
Yeah. So that's where Mary is at, being asked to receive this thing and to be what God wants her to be. And yeah, move into and embrace that freedom to become those things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah. So I hope that this week, as you move towards Christmas, you'll join us in praying for one another, that we really can begin to open up and see what God might be calling us from and to in this season. It really is a beautiful season of freedom. And I hope that y'all find a little bit of that freedom, even in this busy time of Christmas. If you're in the area, of course, hope you'll come worship with us. And otherwise, we'll see you next week on Under the Stained Glass.
Bye.